Blog Talk Radio.
Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our hearts through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life. Apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life.
Everybody, this is Reaching Out Radio International. I'm Prophet Evangelist Edward Eberle, host of God's Hour of Truth. I'd like to welcome everybody tonight here in the United States as well as around the world. Praise God. Another week here. This evening, Lord laid a message on my heart, some things that we really need to be reminded of, because many times it isn't so much the things that we don't know all the time, but many times we forget things, you know, we have to be reminded. And the very things that we need reminded of tonight are very important things that we definitely have to practice, because what we're going to be talking about governs our life, whether it's going to be victorious or non-victorious. There's a way that we achieve victory in our lives, and we must go that route because God has made a plan for us. And that's what we're about. We're studying to show ourselves approved. We're meditating on the word day and night. And as we do that, he said, you're going to make your way successful. So praise God. Let's make our way successful tonight. And again, I'd like to welcome everybody and just determine tonight that you're going to receive what God has for you, because that's why we minister the word. That's why I have a radio program, to minister God's word, that you will receive from the Lord and you will live an abundant, prosperous, fruitful life on fire for Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's why I'm here tonight. Okay, before we go any further, let's ask the Lord to bless this service tonight, this meeting tonight, okay? I want you to agree with me as I pray, all right? Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we just praise you for Jesus. We know if it wouldn't have been for Jesus, we wouldn't even be here tonight. We wouldn't even be around. But Father, we honor you tonight. We honor Jesus tonight by preaching the word. And Father, I thank you for giving me that privilege to minister your word to others, Father. I thank you. That is a privilege. That isn't a duty, but that's a privilege to me. I don't take it as a duty, but I enjoy it, Father, and I love to see people touched by your power and your love. I would just pray tonight for the listeners here, those that are on this evening, as well as those that will be on the on-demand section after this is off the air, this program. Father, I just ask that you would minister to them personally. I ask that you would just go to them and whatever they're searching for, whatever they need, that you would minister to them, that they would know that God ministered to me. They would have that in their heart, that you would show them yourself in a mighty way, that they would become on fire for you, and they would take the gospel out and minister, Father, and see your hand at work and testify of your love and your goodness. So now, Father, we just thank you, we just praise you, and Father, everything that's accomplished tonight, we'll give you all the glory and praise. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we thank you, Father. And they all said, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. This evening, our subject is going to be your word, words in God's word. Your word is pertaining to your integrity. How good is your word? What is that all about, being as good as your word? What's the word say about that? The words that you say is the next part. Then the following part would be the confession of words, which is God's word. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of James, chapter 3, verse number 4. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You know, a ship, a big ship, goes by a very small helm and wherever the governor listeth, directing that ship. Very small, a very small member of that ship is what guides it, that little helm. But now, let's look at ourselves in this issue, this situation right here. We're going to compare it to ourselves. A ship is driven, guided by this helm. Now, you and I are guided by a very small part of our body, aren't we? That's called the tongue. That's called the tongue. The Bible says that the tongue, it either gives life or death. It brings forth death or life. It will, in Proverbs 18:21, it brings forth death or life, either one. It's by what we say, what we believe. And we're going to learn tonight just how important this is, because it's more than just our saying words, even more than quoting the word, but there's several things involved when we speak of the word, words we say, our word, and God's word. We need to have all three of them intact, because if we have any one of them wrong, it will mess us up, because our words have to be according to what God's word is. Okay, let's go to the first one here about your word, which would be our integrity, what we stand for. You know, a lot of people want to be known or famous, or they want to be recognized. But what are you recognized by? Are you recognized by a person as of good integrity, good spirit, good attitude, kind and loving? Or are you notorious, a word that you're known as a man or a woman that doesn't honor their word, lies, is corrupt in everything that they say and do, and the people around you will say, hey, you can't take them for their word, because they'll tell you something, they'll do something else. Now, how are we known, you say? How are we known? Our name isn't really our name. My last name is Eberle, but that isn't really what I'm known by. What I'm known by is what I'm identified by and how I live. Now, let's see what God has to say about himself. This is what he's speaking of about himself. In Psalms 138:2, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That same that thou means that God has magnified what he says, his word, what we read in the Bible, what his truths are. He's magnified that above his name, even the name of Jesus, the name of a Father, our Heavenly Father. Above his name, even Father God, and what he's known by all the many names that he is. He puts his word above that, because if his word would not be true, if he would not honor his word, he would have a bad name. He really wouldn't be God. But that's the same as you and I. We need to put our word above what we have, what we do, what our reputation is. No matter, we can be a worldwide famous person, whatever field you want to say. We can be the most famous or the richest person in the world. And if we are that, that isn't really our name. Our character is what our name is. We're known by that. You don't have to be a wealthy man to have a good name. And a wealthy man sometimes doesn't have a good name. So you have to look at it in a way that it's your character, what you want to be known by. And if we really want to be identified or known, a lot of people want to be well-known, get their name in there and all that. Well, more important than that is to get our integrity. First of all, the name of Jesus in there. First, get the Lord in there. And secondly, we must care about building a reputation or a name of being honorable, kind, with the fruits of the Spirit, being as good as our word. We need to do that. You know, we're living in a world right now that we have to have lawyers and contracts and everything that you can imagine in order to make deals with business and things like that. Years ago, it used to be a simple handshake. But, you know, if you can't trust a man or a woman by shaking their hands, and you have to get all types of loopholes and all types of legal jargon there that we don't understand and we have to pay a lawyer to get for us, that person isn't worth 2 cents. I don't care who they are, what they are, what they've done. If you can't take a man or woman at their word, that's it. They're nowhere. They're nothing. No matter how rich they are, how famous they are, how smart they are, they could be ministers of the gospel, great preachers, great teachers, you name it. You could have all that going on in your life. But if your name is mud by what you do, then they're going to know you as at the world. Because people, when you mention somebody's name to them, they have an idea. They say, well, he's a fine man, she's a fine lady, they're honest. I trust them with my life. And other times might be another name heard, and somebody would say, well, no, you just better be careful there. And so things like that. And we're not to gossip. I'm not talking about gossiping about people. But I am saying about knowing people by their fruits. That would be like knowing people by their fruits. So it must be their character that we look at as the most important thing we can have in our life. Knowing the Lord and living by the word of God and having good character. So that's honoring our word, being as good as our word. Now, first of all, we have to learn to say what we mean and mean what we say. Don't say something that you don't mean, but always mean what you're saying. Be honest in what you're saying. Don't lie to people. Don't tell them things that you know very well you're lying just as soon as you say it, but you're saying it to make them feel good or something they want to hear. Don't do that. Always be honest with people. The next thing that we have to remember, it determines our influence on others, honoring our word, because if we're not known to be a man or woman of our word, we're having little influence upon them because they're not going to respect us, they're not going to listen to what we say, and they're going to just not pay a whole lot of attention to us. So we need to do that. We'll be influential with others. If we're Christians, we want to bring people to Jesus Christ, don't we? And if I have no reputation, if I'm known to be a liar and not be as good as my word and things like that, they're not going to listen to me about Jesus. They're not going to listen to a word I say. They're not going to pay attention to me because, hey, this man's not living what he should be, so I don't want to hear what he has to say. Or this woman, let's say the same thing. So recognize that your testimony is in that. Your whole being is in that. Your whole future is in that. Okay? Now, something else about our word. In Titus 1:15, this is a little different, but this is something that a lot of people don't know or don't recognize, but it affects our faith. And it says in Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Okay? If you are a corrupt person that lies and pulls all types of shady deals and things like that, you are going to look at others that way like they are that way. Because when you commit things, you're suspicious of others because you more or less assume an identity of doing this and you think everybody's that way. That's just like when you're living right and pleasing God and being honest and open about things and loving the Lord, you see everything kind of with rose-colored glasses, because you look at people, you don't see that corruptness in a sense of everybody's that way, because you're living right, you think everybody else is, you see. And a prime example of that was the centurion with Jesus that time, whenever he came to Jesus for his servant there that was sick, and they asked him to heal him. And when he said this one thing to Jesus, which you'll see where I'm coming from, he said, well, Lord, he said, I'm not worthy to come to your house, but speak the word, and I know it'll be done. He said, I'm a man that gives orders and speaks, and I tell a man to go, and he goes. I tell him to come, and he comes. He listens to me, and I know you're a man of your word. So you see, he saw Jesus as he was, and a person that says something that's carried out, or he tells somebody to do this or do that, and they obey it, you see. And that's the way we look at things. We see things as the way we are. Now, let me correct something there, too. It's not correctness, but give you some wisdom on this. We're to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. As we obey the Lord and we're walking with these rose-colored glasses, so to speak, that doesn't mean that we don't see evil and we don't identify and deal with it, you see. We can't be so rose-colored glassy eyed, you know, with rose-colored glasses on, that we see everything right and we leave people that are not right walk all over us or do wrong things, you see. We have to be, know people by their fruits and be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But yet with those rose-colored glasses, that walking in love and caring and trying to be helpful to people must be with us, you see. But this is how we identify with that there, as far as honoring our word. So that's something today. It's been a past practice, unfortunately, because we have many ministers, many people in ministry, Christians. We know the world's doing that, but let's talk about Christians. How many Christians are not honoring their word today? How many are trying to really get money out of people, fleece the sheep, so to speak, lying to people, telling people what they want to hear, doing things that are not really showing the love for mankind, the love for Jesus, and to get the gospel out there, to get people born again, delivered, set free, and on fire for Christ. It's more about what they're doing, what they can get out of it. Look at me, look at my little kingdom, you say. And that is not good. We need to keep the true, full gospel in our hearts, you see. And we do that if we have the love of Christ in our hearts and we want to do the things by the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23, walk in that, because we're going to be men and women of integrity. That's why I think a lot of times today people aren't interested in a lot of things about the church, because they see how a lot of church folk do, and they say, why should I do that? I seem to be living a better life than they are. So we have to show them something, folks, and we show them something by the way we live. We're to live godly. It says those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution in 2 Timothy 3:12. We got to live that godly life. We have to live a forgiving life, a God of loving people, a God of seeing need, helping to meet that need, a God of walking in that love, you see. They need to see the Jesus in us. They need to see the Jesus in us and the integrity that he had. That will impress them. A lot of times we think it's just the great miracles that God uses to perform through the gifts of the Spirit. And that does. That opens a lot. See, seeing blind eyes open, cripples walk, and things like that. That does. That catches attention. But equally, when you show supernatural the fruit of the Spirit, that does the same thing, too, because I'll tell you how it does it. You are doing things when you do that they know they could not do, and they know you couldn't do it. There must be, how does this man do this? How does this man forgive somebody that shot his family? Or how does this woman forgive somebody that did this to the family? Whatever it might be, because it's something they know they couldn't do. And we can't do, we can't walk a life of integrity without the help of the Holy Spirit. But we need to desire to do that. And if we desire to do that, then the Holy Spirit will enable us to do it. It's your choice to do it. You have to put forth the effort to do it. Then the Holy Spirit will enable you to live a life being as good as our word and being honest with everybody, you see. It takes him to do that because there's temptations. And one more little thing I want to say about that. You know, when we make a commitment to people, as far as honoring our word, I'll use a little example to really help you understand this a little better. You know, say you were going to sell something to somebody. Say you were going to sell a television to somebody, and this is on a Monday. And you say, I'll sell you this TV, and the person says, well, I'll give you $250 for it here on Friday. And you say, okay, you come around Friday with the $250, I'll sell you the TV. Okay, that was Monday. Now Wednesday turns up, and you see somebody else, and they see your TV, and they say, hey, I'll give you $400 for that television. Now, what would you do? Well, the Bible tells us that God swears to his own hurt. In other words, when he makes a commitment there, even if it hurts him, he does it. He doesn't renege out of that commitment there so he can profit on it, but he's honest about it. So what you should do would be the person that offers you that money, say, well, I have somebody that's going to buy it here on Friday, but if they don't buy it, I will contact you. What is your phone number? That's what it would be. But unfortunately, a lot of people, if they were offered $150 more and the man was right there at $400 in their hand, they would take that money because they'd say, wow, I made $150, so I'm blessed. The Lord is blessing me. But is that being a blessing? That you get $150 more? Yes, that's great. You're getting that. But to get that, you're actually have lied or didn't swear to your own hurt with that other man that's going to buy the TV on Friday, you see. In other words, God said, I swear to my own hurt when I use my word. But what are you doing there? You made $150, but you were not honest in it, you see. So you didn't make that money honestly. But most people want to call that a blessing more than they would of doing wrong. But honoring, being honorable by your words, being a way that what you say you mean you say. So that's how we must do. We must be willing to lose that $150 if we run in that situation before we say, well, hey, I'll take it and I'll just call that person and say the TV sold. So that's how you're proving what you stand for. You know, it's real easy to say, I'll do this and I'll do that. But when you are tested that way, how do you come out of that test? A lot of times I found in my own life, folks, that I've made a lot of statements. I've made some strong statements about standing with the Lord, being honest, open, and everything. I preach that. I'm a preacher that ministers the word. I don't fool around. I minister the word the way it is. And I want to tell you this. I was tested on it many times, too. What you start to preach and you do and you teach, you better be ready to back it up. You better be able to back it up, you see, because God will test you on it. When you speak the word, and you'll find that this where you stand when you're tested by things. You'll learn, am I really a man that is as good as his word, an honorable man, or am I just a little bit this way and a little bit that way, or am I just a person that says things and don't mean them? So it's time that we get serious about that. We're living a very serious time, and we have to clean up our acts, every one of us, every one of us. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having these precious promises, we're to lay aside everything of the flesh and the spirit. It's corrupt, you see. Cleanse our flesh and spirit and walk in the fear and the honor of God, you see. We're to lay all these things aside and walk the way he intends us to walk. So in honoring our word, honoring what we say and do and everything to others, being fair with mankind, being fair and honest with God, but first of all, be honest and fair with yourself, because many times we lie to ourselves. And if we can't be honest with ourselves, we surely can't be honest with people. We can't be honorable to the Lord or be honest with him, you say. Honesty starts being honest with ourselves, seeing ourselves as we are. And then when we see ourselves as we are, we're able to be honest with people. Then we're able to be honest with God, you see. But we must be honest with ourselves first, examine ourselves in truth, and just call ourselves what we are and what we fall short, make an adjustment there with the help of God through the Holy Spirit. That's what God expects us, to examine ourselves, you see. Okay, next part of this, that was honoring our word, your word or our word, you see. This part is words that we say. Okay, if you have your Bibles again, Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou art justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Okay, by our words. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Isn't that what the word tells us? Out of the abundance of our heart. So we are speaking either corrupt words right there that will be condemned or will be justified. What type of words are we saying? Are we speaking words of fear, words of hate, words of anger, words of jealousy, words of pride? What's driving us within us brings the words out. You see, what triggers us within? What triggers us to say what we say? Is there something corrupt in there, you see? All right, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We eat what we speak, really. We make our own bed many times, and we have to lie in it. What we sow, we reap. So we need to take account, take a look, and make sure, am I speaking right and acting right? Am I saying the right things? Am I speaking God's word, see? Am I speaking God's word? And when we come to that place that we are doing that, and we see it, and we examine it, and we practice it, we're going to grow. See, it isn't something that you just say a little prayer, say, Lord, help me with my words, help me say the right thing, do the right thing. That begins with that. But then we have to watch ourselves, what we're saying, and just look, am I saying the right things? And as you do that, there's times that you, especially you firstly start out to do that, you're going to be saying things. Maybe it won't be kosher, and you say, Lord, forgive me for saying that. The Holy Spirit will check you on it, you see, and you'll recognize it. But that's all in the growing process, because it's like anything else. The more you do it, the more you practice it, the better you become at it. So don't be discouraged as you do that, because sometimes things could slip out of your mouth. But just examine and keep your eyes on that and work at doing it, not just pray it and then don't even think about it and just go like you were doing, you know, just do like you were doing. But you have to examine and say, hey, I need to get my words and my mouth checked here. I have to get that in order with God. And then be careful what you say, you see. All right? Our words give us faith or fear, what we say. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word. Fear comes by hearing and hearing Satan's word. The things that Satan speaks to you, you have to cast down and don't listen to them, because if you listen to them, your faith will be in fear. In fact, it's not faith, it's fear. You develop fear listening to Satan, you develop faith listening to God. So that's pretty self-explanatory there. And we're to cast down all these things that are Satan's word and not pay any attention to them. Matter of fact, Jesus, when Satan spoke to him, he didn't talk to him. He just quoted what the word of God said. He quoted the Bible. He quoted the word of God. He spoke what God's word said, what he says. You look at the red letters there, and that's how you tell. If you notice, he always used the word of God. And that's what we do. We don't debate Satan. You can't debate with him. He'll defeat you every time. But I'll tell you what will happen. You use God's word against him. He's helpless because he cannot move in that. He's helpless by the word of God. Okay? And you know what helps us is something that really... You stop and think about this. This is a good way to begin. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Slow to speak, right? And why should we be slow to speak? Because we're liable to say something there, jump the gun, so to speak, and we shouldn't have said it. Or maybe it wasn't pertaining to what was being talked about, or could be offensive. You have to weigh what you say before you say it. Weigh it before you say it. And I'll tell you, folks, if there's anything that I ever made a mistake in, which there is, failed many times a lot of things, but what I have learned, the thing that got me in trouble the most was the thing I'm teaching about tonight, this little tongue right here. This little tongue right here got me in more trouble. And I venture to say that everybody listening would have the same problem. It's been their mouth. It's been our mouth. That's been the problem. And, you know, that's why we have to be slow to speak about things like that and recognize your words are a creative force, because God created the world by speaking it. Naturally, he had faith and believed it because he is faith, but he made it vocal. He spoke it into existence. So, therefore, we have to do things in our life by speaking it, you see, for his promises, for healing. We need to speak them. We need to declare them, because that's just God's way of doing business. So you and I must do that, because spoken words will bring either positive or negative results. Are they positive words by what the word of God says? Are they negative words by what we feel, what we have, our emotions are, what people say, and what negative influence of Satan was speaking to us and trying to defeat us and make all things negative? Are we speaking for a result of those things? Are we speaking as a result of reading God's word and studying it and knowing that's what you and I are to say? You see, that's what we have to do. We have to learn to do that. So when we speak words, recognize, first of all, that they must be positive words, and recognize what we speak is going to come back to us one way or another. And we surely don't want it to come back in a negative way or to hurt us, do we? So we have to be careful. We need to clean our mouth up with spiritual soap, with spiritual soap, clean our mouths up, and look at what we're saying and watch ourselves, you see, and we're going to become more and more better at it, really, really what I'm saying. We're going to become more proficient. We're going to be really pleased with ourselves because our lives will start to change more because we're speaking the right things, and you're going to notice a lot of things passing away from you when you speak God's word and positive things, and we act that way. We have integrity. We honor our word. As we walk in these things, life is going to become better, folks. It's going to become better. You know, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. That's true, or those who live God in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's all true. But yet, those things come at you, God's taking care of it right away because you're a man or a woman honoring his word. It has integrity, speaking his word, following him. So therefore, these things aren't going to hang around with you, you see. And you're not even going to be attack with him as much in these things because you'll become more proficient at it. And when the devil knows that he can't trip you up in a certain thing, he's going to look for something else, you see. He's not going to keep attacking you with things that aren't going to hurt you, you see. It's just like smoking. Years ago, the Lord took smoking away from me. I have no desire whatsoever. So he doesn't come at me to try to tempt me at smoking. He does not do that because it doesn't bother me, you see. But he's going to come at you for what he sees or hears you say, you see. He hears your words. He can't read your mind. He's not a mind reader. Only God is that way. Only God knows your thoughts and everything. Satan does not know your thoughts, but how he learns what hurts you is by your words. If you're speaking the negative words, you're practically telling him that this is the thing that hurts me. And he says, oh, I'll fix you. I'll go ahead and give this to you, you see. And then the more he throws this at you, if you fail at it and you keep getting beat up by it and not able to sleep at night, and it's restless and everything, he's going to keep doing it because he's going to put that pressure on because the more he affects you the negative way, he's going to keep it on you, you see. Or another way he hears, not just by our words or knows what's going on, is by our actions. When we act a certain way and body language, you could say, he recognizes, woo, I hit him with this. I better keep this up because I'm able to get him in this area, you see. And that's what he does. But if you let it go unchecked and you don't deal with that thing and you don't correct it, he's not going to stop. He's going to keep going. So you've got to get the victory over everything in your life because what you don't have victory on, what you don't have God in, the devil's going to be in it. He's going to be in it because he fills the void. Every void in your life where God isn't, he fills that void, you see. And I don't want him to fill any void in my life. I don't want any void in my life. I don't know any voids in my life now. And you need to be the same way. Because if you have voids in there, remember what you want to allow God in as an invitation, you see. He won't push his way, and God does not push his way in anything. He comes by invitation. But Satan has no invitation. He just comes in and tries to take over, you see. So we have to recognize that. So be very guarded on what you say, because death and life are in the tongue, in the power of the tongue. It's a creative force. And there's something else I want to tell you about words. You know, as I quoted Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word. That's not just words you hear somebody else preach, a minister preach, a pastor preach, teach. That's not just that. The biggest thing many times is what we say we hear, because faith comes by hearing and hearing what we're saying. So that's why even when you read your Bible, you should speak it out loud because you're hearing it. You're not just reading and looking at it, but you're hearing it. And then what's it say? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. So if you're listening to anything, whether it's on the positive side or the negative side, see, it works with Satan the same way it works with God. If I'm speaking negative words on the negative side, if I continue to speak that, faith comes by hearing by God's word in the good part, what's going to happen? Faith is rising up in that fear, you see. And then that faith rises up in that fear, it gets into your heart, you see. When faith gets to a certain level, it goes into your heart, and it starts to grow and consumes you, and it makes the other force look small. In other words, if faith comes by hearing by God's word, when I believe that word, it's going to get into my heart, and it's going to grow, and it's going to make the devil and the things of the devil look small, which we want in our lives. God is the great one. He's our God, our source. Satan is nothing with God in us. Satan is nothing compared to God. So if I'm built up in faith in God, I'm going to look at Satan as nothing, you see. He's no big deal because I'm going to recognize my God is stronger. But if I speak negative words, hear those negative words, and then it builds up, the fear builds up in my heart, that's going to grow, and I'm going to see a great big devil and a little itty-bitty God. Now, what good that's going to do me? That great big devil is just going to give me a lashing. He's going to beat me. He's going to try to take everything and then drive me even into hell itself. So you have to recognize the danger in that. You see, you maybe never thought of that, but it's what you're saying. And as a man thinketh, Proverbs 23:7 says, in his heart, when that faith's in that heart, as a man thinketh, he thinketh that, so is he. So as you think and believe something, you start to act that way. And when you act that way, you are it. You are it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You become it. You become that thing, you see. So you need to keep God's word in your heart. You can't listen to fear or Satan's word or speak Satan's word and build that force up within you. It's going to cause you to be full of fear, but you want to listen to what's going to make you full of faith, faith in God, you see. I mean, I'm breaking these things up a little bit tonight to give you a little bit of understanding of how it works. You probably never thought of that. Very few people think about when they're saying it, what really happens, because faith comes by hearing. You're hearing yourself. You're saying negative things. You're hearing yourself, maybe even subconsciously, and that's building up, and it's growing your heart, and you're wondering why your God is looking so small sometimes. Why if my God looks so small? What have I done? But you're listening to the devil's side, and this, and your faith is growing in that fear of what Satan is saying, instead of being on God's side, listening to God's word, speaking God's word, and leaving faith grow there, where you're going to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and the devil's not going to stop you on anything, because you're going to hit him and knock him flat by the word of God. You're going to use Luke 10:19-20, where it says you have authority over the spirits and all the evil forces, and you're going to use that because you're bigger than he is. The greater one's in you. But you're not going to see that if you're falling the other side. And I've had it happen in my life in times past. I wondered why my God was becoming small at times. And that's because I was missing it somewhere, and I had to see where I was missing it and then hook in, tap into the Lord again. Because you tap out of God, the devil's going to come right in there, and you're going to slowly, day by day, decrease. And you're going to wonder, what in the world happened to me? You're going to be like Samson, you know, whenever Delilah cut his hair. He was real strong before, and when a dozen men could come out of him, he'd just throw them right off. Well, you remember that one time after Delilah cut his hair, those men came to take him, and he thought he was just like he was before. Well, there'd be nothing. He'd just throw them down like nothing. He went to do it, and he found out he was just a regular man, you see. It was that anointing, that power was out of him that he had when he was strong, you see. And that's the way it is as we follow the Lord. When we find ourselves weak, we know that something happened, something left the air out of our tires, and we need to get that patched up and blown back up again to where it should be and growing, you see. All right. So that should give you a little understanding about words that we say, the importance of it, and breaking it down a little bit, because a lot of things we don't consider sometimes are the very things that hurt us. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines, and sometimes they're so real and so simple and so true we don't see them. Matter of fact, folks, I'll tell you what, a lot of revelation I've seen and gotten from God over the years has just been simple things that we don't see as individuals that he shows to us. We are so high-minded sometimes, maybe in looking at things. We're looking above something instead of looking right at it. He showed it to us and say, my, in the world didn't I ever think of that before. What? My, oh, my, that makes sense. I understand. Well, that's the Lord giving a revelation to us, you see. And we need that, you know. We're creatures a lot of times that miss the important things and put the emphasis on the least important things. We have to get our priorities right and know what really is with God, what he expects from us. That's why we have to hear from the Lord and be close to the Lord and following him, be filled with his spirit and sold out to him and saying, Lord, your will be done in my life. Your will be done in my life, because that is something that God has really put on me really recently. In a way to show me how important it is, but that we say, Lord, your will be done in my life. And that's all you have to really do in that sense when it comes to being led to do this or do that sometimes. And if you do that, you're going to be at the right place at the right time. At the right time. And that's what it is. You're going to be a godsend to people. He's going to send you that right place, and he's going to send you the right time. He's going to anoint you that you can get the job done. But we must be led by him. It must be his will, you see. He doesn't bless what he doesn't call you to do. You can say, well, I want to do this or I'm going to do that. Bless it, Lord. It's not going to work. That's why a lot of people get discouraged, because they do what they feel they're to do, it doesn't work. And where are you at, Lord? Why aren't you blessing it? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? Well, many times, if he would be speaking to us, he would say, well, I never told you to do that. I bless what I tell you to do, but I didn't tell you to do that. And that brings to a place of saying, well, Lord, your will be done. Not my will, but your will. So we need to really be submissive to that. Now, that's very important. Very important, because we need to be led of the Spirit like we've never been led of the Spirit. Never in history. We need that any more than we do right now. Okay, the next thing is God's word and the power of confession. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. And you know what that means? Amen. Well, yea means yes. Amen, men means so be it. Yes, so be it. When we say amen, yea, and amen, we're saying yes, so be it. And all the promises of God, all of them, are not if it be your will or anything like that. It's yes, so be it. No promise of God is if it be your will. Remember that. All those hundreds of promises in the Bible, you never, never, never say if it will be your will. You say yes and amen and consider it done. So that's what he's telling us about his word. That's the power, first of all, of our confession, knowing it's his will. Not, is it his will or will you do it for me? Don't even think about that, because it's his will. He just wants you to have a right heart and believe him. And then when you have a right heart and believe him, consider it a done deal. And he will do it. Sometimes he does immediately. Sometimes we have a little wait. That's why he put patience in the Bible. And that's why in James 1:4 it says, let patience have her perfect work. You'll lack nothing. And it's that force of patience, which is the twin of faith, that we apply. Some things we use your faith right away, and bang, I've seen many miracles over the years instantly. Then there's some things you have to stand for, and sometimes you stand for a long time for them. But with patience means be as sure when you release that faith and felt bold as a lion, be the same way until it manifests. In other words, don't give an inch. God's promise is happening. It's happening for you in his timing, whatever it is, you see. But know it's a done deal, because when you ask anything according to his will or his word, which is his will, it's his word, he hears you. And if we know that he hears us, which God doesn't wear a hearing aid, so he heard us, you will have the petitions you desire of him, it says in 1 John 5:14 and 15. So we need to take things that way, you see. God said something here recently. I'd heard that. I heard from another brother, I believe it was, in the Lord, and it really bore witness with me. But he said the biggest complaint with God now, the thing that God is saying, he said, my people aren't taking me at my word. Stop and think about that. Are you really taking him his word if you don't consider what he says right there? And after a little while, you say, well, I'm just giving up faith. It's not going to happen. No, well, you're saying, your word said this, Lord, but I just can't go further. I can't go any further. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to throw in the towel. You see, you're not really believing. My people are not believing me, he says. Because if we throw in the towel, we're showing disbelief. God wants to take us to the place that when we say it, we believe it, we accept it, and we keep going ahead and believe it. We don't lose faith, say, oh, I'm getting weary. If you're weary, he'll renew your strength. There's a wait upon the Lord to renew their strength, Isaiah 40:31 says. You know what that means, wait upon the Lord? That means to not sit down with your arms crossed. That means to be continually doing his will in your life, and then he'll renew that strength. That strength that you need so bad, you're just kind of discouraged, you're tired, you're weary, you're everything that you shouldn't be. But if you determine, hey, I'm going to follow you, Lord, I'm going to continue on obeying you, and I'm going to follow you what you tell me to do, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to give up on things, but I'm just going to keep going ahead, then he's going to renew that strength. But now there's one more thing, one more area of that, and there's a time. I want to give you a double thing on this. I don't want you to become confused. Know this. There's a time he wants us to take a rest or a break sometimes, like he told the apostles. Remember, he said, let's go aside a while here. Let's come apart a while. Because if you don't come apart and get some rest, you're going to come apart, you see. In fact, there was a man in the scripture who nearly died because he overdid it. He didn't take care of his body, you see. And so we have to use wisdom in that way. But most of the time that we want to quit is just because we get discouraged. It didn't happen the way we thought or when it thought. So, but remember, he'll renew your strength. He gives you a second wind. God gives you a second wind. if you choose to go forth. See, you have to make that decision. I'm going to go forward, and I need your help, Lord. That's simple, really how simple it is. Lord, I'm going to go continue to go serving you what you want me to do. I'm not going to quit, but, Lord, I need your help and your strength in this thing. And you're asking him to help. There you go. If anything you ask, he's going to give it to you, and especially like that, because he wants you to keep going, you see. Okay? The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, and I love this. This really encompasses everything. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay? That is pretty good. Just think about that a little bit right there. Through lust. And given everything in this life, everything that pertains to this life and how to live a godly life and even prepare us for heaven. You see, everything is in there. He's given us everything. So there's no lack what we have need of from God in this life here. He's made provisions for everything because, remember, he created us and he knows what's in this world. He knows what we need. He knows what his plans are for us. So therefore, it's all there. There's nothing missing. And I'll tell you something else. If there's something missing, he'll create it. He'll create it. He'll create something for something. I've heard different cases medically and everything. I won't go into them now, but he created certain things were never heard of before because somebody had a special need. So he has made all provisions, and for anything that's not there that comes up, which he knew, he's gonna create that too, you see. So God's got you covered, folks. He's got you covered. Amen? That should make you happy right there. That should bless you. And another confession, this is what we're to say, the power of confession. That's what we're talking about. We confess this, that the Lord has everything prepared for me. He's got it covered. He's got it covered. Or all the promises are yes and so be it. That's a confession right there. So all the hundreds of promises there, it's a yes and so be it. And the next thing, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm healed by what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I was here, as a matter of fact, the correct way to say it, because we're looking back to the cross 2,000 years ago when he paid for our salvation and bought it. So I was healed. I'm not going to say to God, Lord, I need you to heal this situation. Now, that's really a wrong way to say it. I know it's said many times by most Christians, but we shouldn't really say that. We should say, your word says, by your stripes, I am healed. So I receive it. We're just to receive. He did it and gave it. He's not going to do it again or give it again. We just receive what he's already done. Lord, I receive that healing that you already paid for. By your stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. I receive it. I thank you I'm healed because you paid that price. I am healed because you paid that price 2,000 years ago. I receive it, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. That's how you pray for healing. You know that? That's how you pray for healing. Not, Lord, I need you to heal. Oh, God, do this. Oh, my. And I've done that before, folks. And you all have, too. And anybody that does says it didn't is a liar. Because we've all fallen short from time to time. You see, some people try to be impressive that they're Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. And that's a bunch of lies. It really is. Because God is grooming all of us, folks. We're still in the wheel. And you're going to stay in that wheel until you go to heaven. Because we're always learning, we're always growing, always corrected. I've known the Lord for 50 years now, just about served and ordained the ministry way back in 1975, and I've had much experience in many areas. I know the Word of God. God has blessed me in many ways, and that's not blagging or trying to edify or blow myself up or something like that, or being braggadocious. I'm humble in that because the Lord has done much, but I'm going to tell you something else. He has shown me more now in this past year or so than I've ever learned. In other words, I almost feel like a new creature, a new Christian many times if you want to know the truth. So you see, he's doing that with everybody. I don't care who you know, how long you've been here, how big your church is, or anything about you. All I care about is you following the Lord, you see. When I say I don't care, it doesn't matter what your identity is or who you have or who you might think you are, but you're still in that wheel, you are still growing. If you're not, then you're out of the will of God. We don't have any heroes today, and we never did have any heroes in the Bible or anywhere. The only hero, the one that we want to be like and worship is Jesus. He's the only one that's worthy because I make mistakes, you make mistakes. Many people that are out there thinking they don't make mistakes do make mistakes. They want to build themselves up as some big special person because we're not. We're workers together. I'm not better than you, and you're not better than me. I don't care who you are or what you were. I don't care if you're a general from the past or even a Bible character. Nobody's better than nobody. We are all servants of the Most High. In fact, we're His children. You see, He called us. In fact, He's our elder brother. There's only one hero, and that's Jesus Christ. And we have to learn to make Him and exalt Him. And if you lift me up, I will draw men unto myself, He said. So we need to be a Jesus follower, a Jesus worshiper, not a man or anything else worshiper, you see. And it's got a lot out of hand that way. A lot of times that man is getting a lot of glory for a lot of things, and that should not be. It should be only Jesus Christ that gets the glory. Okay, the next thing is John 10:10. The Lord came to give me life, to give it more abundantly. Jesus came to give me life. He said, I give it more abundantly to you. That's a promise you can claim right there, a confession to speak out. Lord came to give me an abundant life in all things, spiritually, physically, everything. He wants me to live an abundant, joyful life in Him, reflecting His picture to the world. Okay? 1 John 4:4, greater is He that's in me and He that's in the world. I have the great one within me, so therefore I'm not afraid of anything or anybody because Jesus is within me. And to take care of me, to put me out of the picture, you're going to have to get through Jesus. He's the one that's protecting me. So therefore I'm not afraid of you because Jesus is my protector. He's either going to stop it, it's not in His plan, or He'll allow it to go to His plan. If I'm to be a martyr, He'll let it go. If I'm not, He's going to stop it. Excuse me. He's going to take care of it because He's with me. He's my elder brother. He's not going to let people hurt me. He's going to protect me. We have to recognize we're not walking our own strength or our own ability, but Jesus is within us, and He gives us words to say. He protects us. He directs us. He provides for us. He spares our lives many times. I could probably name hundreds of times with my wife and I how we were all, well, tremendous testimonies, really awesome testimonies of what God did, and we see it and we recognize it. Some were smaller and some were really great testimonies of what He did, but He did it. He did it because He loves His people, and He does it for you. He'll do it for you. He's no respecter of person, you see. So that's what He is for all of us. We're not speaking of any one man or woman that is blessed so much in things, because what He does for you, He'll do for me. What He does for me, He'll do for you, you see. Okay, so the greater one is in us, right? And we need to think that way and say it. And, you know, as we speak it and declare these things that I'm saying to you now, the greater you're going to grow in these things, and you're going to make it a part of you. And as a man thinketh, so is he. You're going to be a man that walks around, I have the greater one within me. I have no fear because He's going to take care of me in every way. That's going to be a part of your life. So when fear tries to attack you, right away it's right there before you. The greater one's with me. What am I afraid about? Or fear tries to come in a certain area, it won't last. It might come in and maybe rock you, but then you're going to know, hey, Jesus is with me. He never leaves me or forsakes me. You might feel lonely. I feel like there's nobody cares, there's nobody around me. Feeling lonely, right? But always remember, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay? So we have to practice His presence. We need to practice and say these things, folks. Remember what I said a little earlier. You speak these things, you hear them. Then you start to believe them, and they go into your heart, and as you keep nurturing that, it becomes part of you, because as a man thinks, so is he. So you will think that way, you see. You will think that way. All right, the next scripture is Psalms 15:4. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Well, that's the scripture I used a little while ago. His promises and everything, what He promised us, He carries out, you see. He carries the things out. He swore these things to us. He gave these things to us, so therefore it's done deal always. There's no question about it, no consideration about it. It's thus saith the Lord, that's it. There's no more to say about it. When you say thus saith the Lord, that's it. We live off of that. We obey that. There's no reasoning about it or anything. It's just obedience, saying yes, Lord, to Him. Now, it's another scripture in Romans 4:17. Now, this shows how powerful our words are. And it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. God spoke of things that were before creation as though they were, and they became, didn't they? So you speak God's word before you have that healing, before you have those needs met, whatever they might be. You speak His word and call the things that aren't, like I'm healed by Jesus' stripes, I am well. You're calling the things that aren't manifested yet. but I call those things that aren't, which be not as though they were, and then they became. And they become in us, and the world became or began in him when he spoke those words, creating earth, heaven and earth and everything. So you see, you're speaking what isn't. In other words, you could be in pain right now, a need in your life. You have maybe a bad doctor's report or whatever it might be, and he said, you have this, you have that, or whatever it might be. But as you say, do what God did here, which he wants you and I to do. You speak of things that aren't. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. And since I was healed 2,000 years ago, I am healed now. I am healed. I receive that. And as you stand that and keep confessing that and believing that, it grows in your heart and it becomes stronger and stronger. Then it manifests, because everything that we receive on the outside in our bodies and everything begins in the inside. It begins inside, and then it comes out and manifests, you see. So speak what you don't have, what God has for you, and it will become, because you'll have faith in that. According to his word, what he tells you in his promises, or his plan for your life, you see. It's not just going out and saying, well, I claim this, I claim that. It's been carried out of places. A lot of these ministers now are out of tune with it. They went too far with it. It's not being greedy or selfish and calling it a blessing, but it's what God is leading you, because if you're following the Lord and are led by the Spirit, you're going to know what to pray for. He tells you, he gives you the desires of your heart, doesn't he? And if he gives you the desires of your heart, that means he not only gives you things that please you, which a lot of people think of it that way, but that means he puts his desires in your heart, so you will use your faith to receive them, that they become a reality to you. Many of these things are in your heart. You think, well, I desire this. This is in my heart. But did you ever consider how did they get in your heart? Because you're following the Lord. You love the Lord. And he said, Ed, say to me, he wouldn't say it in that word or something like that, but he would just put something in there. And I think, oh, I have this in my heart now. How did I put it in my heart? Of course not. He put it there. So he gives you the desires of your heart. He puts those desires in you. You believe him, and then it comes to pass, you see. So you're going to be praying in things that please him, you see, and many times, which many people don't consider, because too often we try to get ourselves into that, what we want here and what we want there, instead of allow him to put desires in us and to bless us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. See, we're not putting God into ourselves enough, folks. Not enough. Too often, claiming promises and not really caring much about serving him or doing anything or his will for your life, but just, what my name's Jimmy, what you got to give me, this type of an attitude. But as we get closer to God, it's going to become more real, and it's going to flow and flow better for each one of us. Okay? Now watch this. In Matthew 12:20-34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whoa, isn't that there? That's what Jesus said. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You want to know what's in your heart? What's your mouth speaking? What do you talk about the most? How does it react? How do you react to things? Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaketh. You learn yourself by your mouth. That's a good acid test for us. What's coming out of our mouth? And when we're under great trials, what's coming out of our mouth normally? What do we think about the most? You see, that's how we examine ourselves, because what we're thinking about the most, I can tell you I love the Lord and I'm this and I'm that and I love to do that. Then I get around you, and when I'm around you, I don't want to even talk about the Lord. I knew a pastor like that one time was that way, and you couldn't hardly even talk about the Lord. So you see, out of the heart, abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's the acid test. That proves a fact right there. I won't say any more about that, but that makes a lot of sense too, because Jesus said it, so therefore it thus saith the Lord. Now, Romans 10:8, I just have a couple more scriptures. But what saith it? The Lord is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Okay, it's in your mouth. We speak it. We believe it. We repent. We believe what he did, and then we ask him to come into our heart and save us and take over our lives. We speak it. We declare it out. We don't just think it out. We speak it out, you see. It says the word of faith is in their mouth, what we preach. So the word's not there. And that's not just pertaining to being born again. That's pertaining to anything. It's in our mouth. It's near us and in our heart. If you notice, it's not just in our mouth and in your heart. I can speak words out of my mouth, but if they're not in my heart, it means zilch to God. He's not listening to what I'm saying out of my mouth. He's listening to what my heart's saying. You know, I never particularly looked at this before like this, but it popped out right now. And I've seen it many times, but the Lord's impressing me something a little stronger than I've experienced with it. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So you see, you notice he put them together. It's in your mouth, the word, but it's got to be in your heart first for it to be effective coming out of your mouth. I never said that before, and I've preached and teached a lot of years. And God is just bringing it stronger. I've seen that, but I've never used that the way I'm using it right now, what I'm telling you. So I'm going to repeat myself. The word is in your mouth. It's near us, and it's in our mouth and in thy heart. Now, it can't really be in thy mouth to mean anything unless it's in thy heart first, because you have a force of God within you that really wants to come out of your mouth. It's in your heart. Ooh, I want to get it out of my mouth. Ooh, I want to get it out of my mouth. This is in my heart. Oh, I have this in my heart. I have this in my heart. So you see, that's when you really do it, because that's from God, you see. That's in your heart, you see. So think about that. Think about that scripture. When it's in your heart, it's what's come out of your mouth, but it has to be in your heart. And that's really when we receive Christ. It better be in your heart to do it, because if you're just saying words, it means nothing. But it must be in your heart. That's very important. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You believe it in your heart. Here we go again. The heart, we believe it, right? In your heart. In your heart. It always says that. And notice in the 10th verse how it says that the man believeth unto righteousness in his heart. So he has it in the heart first, right? And then with the mouth confession is made to salvation. The heart. Remember, it starts at the heart, then it comes out the mouth. Okay, my last verse tonight is this, in Mark 11:23. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Okay? That is speaking of the mountain, of really of the problem situation that come our way. We're not talking about physical mountains. I mean, I might say it wouldn't be that way, but this is talking about things we deal with, the mountains in life and everything. Let's put it down to where we're living, okay? Now, I want you to notice something here. If you read that scripture, and I'll kind of count it for you here. We're going to look at the word believe. We're going to look at the word say or saith, okay? Whosoever shall say, that's one say, right, unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, that's faith, right? Shall believe it, that's faith and believe it. And those things which he saith, that's two, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's three says or saith, and one believing, isn't it there? So you're believing it in your heart, right? You believe it in your heart, but he spoke it three times, or used the word say or saith. So that shows, when he says that, the way he said it right there, that's showing that there's a great emphasis put on the speaking of this thing. It's not just believing it in my heart. And that's where I think a lot of times we miss it, because have you ever believed for things and you have it in your heart to believe it, but you're not saying it? You're not confessing it. And you see, that's what we need to do. And that is the easiest thing to mess up with when you're believing for something, whether it's healing, whether it's provisions, whether it's direction, whatever you're believing for, is to say, "Lord, I thank you that I have. I thank you that I have this. I thank you this is happening." My wife and I prayed this morning about some things that are very important things, and it's in our service to the Lord, what we took before him. And I have to say it now, you see. I believe it. I have to speak it and thank him, and it's done, you see. And I have found in my life, and I know a lot of people, and I know if you search your heart, you'll find that out too. You have had faith for something, great faith in your heart for something. But you kind of failed to say it. Wouldn't it if you said, "Thank you, Lord, I thank you, and I have what I asked for," whatever it was. "I thank you, Lord, and I have it. I thank you, Lord," it's out of your mouth. How many times have you recognized you've been believing it, but you've not been saying it very much? You see, that's why we need to say things more. We speak them into existence, that emphasis. And I believe sometimes that could be what holds things back or takes longer, because we need to be making them vocal, be creative about it. It's our tongue is a creative force. So we need to use like God did when he created the earth, you see, heavens and earth and everything by creation. So that's a little area we have to be very cautious of. Because I know in my life there's been a lack some times of saying it. I caught myself and I had to get back on the track. Because the enemy is pretty smooth in that area to kind of get it across where you're not saying it. And that's a form of holding you back, too. You can have it in your heart, but you need to vocalize it. And that reestablishes it and makes it stronger, see. Okay, well, we went over three areas tonight. We have to really have it in tune here if we're going to be in the last day remnant of God, serving him in a mighty way, being mighty men and mighty women of God, seeing God work mightily in our lives and seeing God mighty working through us. And the first thing is we need to be having integrity or honor of our word. Then we have to be very cautious of the words we say, make sure they're positive words, helping, healing words, not downcasting words or gossiping words or putting people down, but words that will lift people up, uplifting words, encouraging words, words that God has to say. Then the next thing is when we're believing, as we're believing for things, doing things, we need to use the power of confession by confessing what we have according to what the word says. The number of scriptures that I went over with you, we just confess what the scripture says about what we're believing for. We don't ask God for it. We say, I receive what you said here, Lord. I receive it. Not do it for me, Lord. Do it for me, Lord. I receive it. That's the correct way to pray. Just like we don't ask Jesus to do something, we ask the Father in the name of Jesus. But as many people say, oh, Jesus, do this, Jesus, do that. That isn't correct praying. We say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive what Jesus already did on the cross for me. I receive my healing. Father, I receive the finances I have need of. Father, I receive the things that you have for me to do. I will do them, you see. You receive everything that God did for you by what he says he's done for you in his word. And you receive it, and then you just thank him for it after you receive it. Just thank him that you have it. I think you heard my prayers 2 days ago. What it was, I received this, I received that, I received it. I thank you for it. Consider it done. There's times the enemy will try to bring on you, ask for it again. Don't be repetitive about it. You know, make sure, first of all, when you pray that you're locked in with it, you meant it. But the enemy will try to sometimes get you to say, Lord, I received it, you know, or pray again for something. But, you know, when we do that, we don't believe God heard us the first time. So praise him and thank him for it instead of praying for it again. Lord, I thank you that I have this. I thank you that I have it. I thank you that you've given that to me. I thank you, Lord, that I have it. When you do that, you're getting away from asking again, because it's just like if I would promise you something. I'd say, well, hey, I'm going to give you $20 on the weekend, this coming Sunday, we'll say. All right. How would I feel about it if you would come to me? Or how would you feel about it if you promised somebody something the next day after you promised them, you're going to give me that $20? You're going to give me that $20 on Sunday? Oh, yes, I told you. Didn't I tell you that yesterday? Next day, same thing you do. After a while, you or me would get a little bit upset about it, wouldn't we? So you'd think, well, hey, don't you believe me? I told you I'd do it. I'd give you $20 on Sunday. Don't you believe me? Don't you trust me? And don't you think that's how God sees it? Because you're actually showing God that you didn't believe it the first time. It's like being saved when you receive Christ as your Savior. Know Jesus Christ. Did you go back the next day, Lord, to the Lord and say, Lord, I've forgiven my sins and everything, and the prayer of faith, you know, and everything, and receiving Jesus Christ? Did you go through that, ask him to come into your heart and save you and take over your life, and I yield my life to you? No. You shouldn't have to. You wouldn't want to keep doing it, because I've been saved almost 50 years, and what if I did that every day? Well, that means I never really came to the place in my faith, in my heart, that I believe it actually saves, you see. You're acting like you don't have it when you do those things. You have to act like you have it and believe it, you see. You're not putting on it. You're not pretending. You're facing it. You're not faking it now. I'm talking about in faith here. You're not trying to impress anybody. I'm talking about you alone in your heart, you see. So there's a place you have to take a hold of it. I've got it. I got it. It's mine. It's mine. You've got to come to that place, and that's what God wants you to do. And really what he says is that place. All you have to do is accept it. Amen? Okay, well, I'm going to have a word of prayer with you all here before we sign off tonight. I'm going to pray that this message come forth and register in the hearts of everybody listening, and that this be a new start for you, a new going forth like you never had before. I'm going to pray that prayer. Father, we just want to praise you and thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. Lord, it benefited every one of us, including myself, Father, to hear your word, to speak your word, to listen to that word, what your word has told us and how you were speaking through me in this message tonight. And you're speaking not only for this audience, for myself and everybody included. So, Father, I would just ask right now that those that are in need would apply what we talked about tonight, whatever the need might be, whether it was financial, physical, if they're not saved, if they need strengthening, if they need wisdom, if they need peace in their home, if they have a wayward child or husband-wife relationship, whatever, a family relationship, whatever it might be. I just pray, Father, they would take that word now and you would move through them and they'd see how true this word is. They'd know this word works. It isn't just something we talk about or just to give us something to say, but it actually works and it's a way of life, Lord. Your word is our way of life. It's not a Sunday thing, it's not a Wednesday thing, but it's a 24/7 thing that we use at all times, in every situation in life, Father. It's our life, it's what we are, it's who we are. So, Father, I would just pray right now to move upon the people. Give divine wisdom and strength and understanding, empowerment, healing, deliverance, Lord. Deliverance, healing, deliverance. Be strong and know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is your strength. Be faithful. Be strong, knowing he is working out all things in your life. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now just praise him right now. Whatever your needs might be, I want you just raise your hands and just praise him and just thank him for taking care of everything. I want you just to cast that care upon him, as the Bible tells us. Praise you, Father. Pray. Just raise your hands and praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you that you're taking care of every need of every person out there. You're meeting them right where they're at. You're directing them and showing them what to do, and you're helping them, Father, that they'll recognize your very powerful love and presence right now, even as I speak these words right now. That anointing, your anointing, has gone forth into those ears, through these lines here, these radio lines, into the ears of the hearers right now, into those of the on the on-demand section listening, Father, that they will meet you now, because you say that you're a very present help of trouble, and you said also that that we are to be still and know that you are God. We are to be still and know that you are God, and you're a very present help in trouble. So you're very present here now, and we're being still, and we're believing your word, and you are proving, not that you have to prove yourself, but you are demonstrating your love and your power to us, Father, that you are showing yourself as God in each one of our lives right now. And we praise you for it. We thank you for it, Father. We just commit to that right now. We thank you for it. We thank you that it's done. We thank you you're doing it now. Be still and knowing that you're God. We thank you that many people are knowing you're God right now. They're knowing that you are really God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. I just feel my spirit that love has went through these lines right here in his presence. He's demonstrated himself to many of you right now. And any testimonies you have, please contact us right here. Please contact us. You can contact me at extendedhandsofjesus@yahoo.com. extendedhandsofjesus@yahoo.com. That's my email. I have other things I could have you notify me, but I'm just giving you my email. And also, if you're online here, you can go to the on-demand section and you can put comments in there. You can notify us that Evangelist Fields and myself will know what's going on. You can testify and glorify the Lord in that. But please testify. I really encourage people to testify what God is doing, because he tells us in the 105th Psalm, the first verse, make known my deeds to the people. He wants you and I to tell people what he's done, that people will recognize him. Just like back when Jesus walked this earth, people testified to one another what Jesus did for them, and that's how it grew and grew and grew, didn't it? And that's, we know that Jesus isn't walking the earth right now. He's at the right hand of the Father. But how we do like they did back then is testifying what God did. And as we testify, they're going to see that we have a living, real God. Not just a lot of words and a lot of prayer requests, but we have a God that answers prayers and does what he says he's going to do. Amen? Okay, I'm going to close for now. And I just pray God's blessings upon you. And just give yourself to the Lord. Follow him. Commit to his will in your life. And you will not be disappointed, because he has a plan for you, and he's going to work that plan in your life if you allow him to. Okay? All right, I'll see you next week, Lord willing, and you all have a blessed week now. Good evening, everybody.